Welcome to Through the Bible with Pastor Michael, a podcast from First Baptist Church in Mustang, Oklahoma. Here's Pastor Michael.
It is another big day for us. We finish another book of the Bible. We are finishing the last few chapters of the Gospel of Matthew today, chapter 26, 27, and 28. So much here. It's really a challenge to try to pick just a few observations, but let's look at five of them together. Number one, a lady worships Christ and his apostles were frustrated. We see that in chapter 26, starting in verse 6, where he is anointed there in Bethany. Second thing we see is that Judas offers to betray Christ. It's really a sad, pitiful exchange that we see here as Judas goes and offers to betray the Lord. And, of course, in the end, he ends up in despair and takes his own life. Judas is a tragic figure. And I just would say to you, if you find yourself with your heart far away from the Lord, rather than despair, run to Christ. No matter what you've done, run to Christ. Better to repent and run to Christ than in fear to run away from the Lord. Peter failed miserably, but in grace he was able to be restored. Judas failed miserably and in desperation in his own life. So if you find yourself in a really bad place, if you find yourself having indulged in far more sin than you ever imagined you might, repent and turn from that sin. But even in your shame, even in your despair, always run to Christ, not away from him. A third observation, Peter denies being connected to Christ. And so, as I said just a moment ago, we read about this juxtaposition between Peter and Judas. Both fall and both failed miserably. It's really remarkable that Peter, this leader, the inner circle, would deny that he even knew Jesus. Not once, not twice, but three times he will do that. A fourth observation is that Christ is tried, mocked, and crucified. The details of what Jesus goes through leading up to his eventual crucifixion unfolds this way. He will go through a total of six trials. The first three of those trials will be Jewish religious trials. The second set of three trials will be Roman political trials. He will have a trial in front of Annas, and then Caiaphas and the Sanhedrin, and then again in front of Caiaphas and the Sanhedrin after a short break. Will then switch from Jewish to Roman trials because Rome has to approve putting someone to death. And so they will transfer Jesus from Caiaphas to Pilate. After a trial with Pilate, he will then go in front of Herod, who is a tetrarch over Galilee, and then back to Pilate again. So altogether, six separate trials that Jesus will endure. And then he will be crucified. A fifth observation is that Christ is raised to life and triumphs over the grave. After reading about what Judas did and what Peter did and what Pilate did, after what the religious leaders did to Jesus, it's just remarkable. No matter how many times you read it, it's just remarkable to think about the resurrection of Jesus. Remarkable to think about how his death triumphed over sin and hell and the grave. And we praise the Lord for the amazing news. Verse 5 of chapter 28, the angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he has risen, as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead." No matter how many times you read that, it's just amazing to think about that empty tomb, that first resurrection morning, when the ladies got to the tomb to be greeted by the angel telling them, "He is not here, for he is risen, just as he said." Five applications for us today. Number one, arrogance and self-confidence leads us astray. Arrogance and self-confidence leads us astray. Chapter 26, verse 33, Peter answered him, "Though they all fall away because of you, I will never fall away." In that moment, Peter is full of bravado and of self-confidence, full really of arrogance there. And that is always a recipe for destruction. He is going to be humbled in a major way. And we need to learn from that, that if we live in arrogance and we live in self-confidence, we too will be led astray. A second application is that we aren't nearly as strong as we think we are. We see this just a little bit later in chapter 26, verse 41. "Watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." We are not nearly as strong as we think that we are. We need to rely upon the Lord's word and upon the power of the Holy Spirit day after day, hour by hour, indeed moment by moment. The spirit may be willing, but the flesh is weak. And so we put no confidence in the flesh, but instead entrust ourselves to the Lord. A third application, envy is a deadly motive. Chapter 27, verse 18, "For he knew that it was out of envy that they had delivered him up." Envy makes us do really foolish things. Envy is a terrible motive for making decisions. Envy is a terrible way to decide how we're going to treat someone or how we're going to respond to a certain thing. Envy makes us foolish in a hurry. If you feel your heart being envious, confess that, repent of that. Remind yourself of the satisfaction we have in Christ, of all that he has given to us. Believers should not be envious, not envious of the wicked, not envious of this world, and not envious of each other. And so just be aware of that. Sometimes we think that envy is so prevalent that it's a small thing, or that it's just so common that it's not worth fighting against. But that's not true. Envy is a dangerous, dangerous thing, and it's a deadly motivation. Number four, fourth application, be willing to identify with Christ no matter the cost. We see Peter as a negative example because he would not identify with Christ. We see a positive example of it in chapter 27, verse 57. When it was evening, there came a rich man from Arimathea named Joseph, who also was a disciple of Jesus. He went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus, and Pilate ordered it to be given to him. And Joseph took the body and wrapped it in a clean linen shroud and laid it in his own new tomb. When Joseph Arimathea does this, it's the end of Joseph. His career is over. He identified with Christ. He climbs up, touches his, takes his dead body off the cross, puts it in the tomb that he had for himself. And in the day in which they have crucified Jesus, Joseph Arimathea identifies with him. This is the end of his career. This is the end of his, if not true physical earthly life, that this is the end of his social life. And yet he will identify with Christ no matter the cost. Right against the backdrop of Peter's failure to even acknowledge that he knew Christ, we see this example of Joseph Arimathea, who is willing to identify with Christ no matter the cost. And then a fifth application, that we are to take the gospel to the nations and command people to repent. That, of course, at the end of the Gospel of Matthew in chapter 28, in this section known as the Great Commission. We are to go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. We are to take the gospel to the nations and command people to repent in the name of Jesus and the authority that he has given to us. And then a quick summary from Psalm 68. God is the Savior of our souls and our daily deliverer upon whom we rely and trust. God is the one who saves us in the ultimate sense, but he's also the God who saves us in a daily sense. He's our deliverer every day. Yes, we are saved once for all. Yes, once we come to faith in Christ, we are his forever, and no one and no thing can snatch us out of the Father's hand, and we are justified, declared righteous in a moment in time. We don't need to get saved over and over again, but he who is our Savior does deliver us and rescue us daily. I don't mean that in the salvific sense, that's once for all. But every single day, there's things the Lord is doing for you. Every day, there's ways the Lord is providing for you. Every day, there's ways the Lord is meeting your needs. Every day, there's ways the Lord is delivering you. And one of the greatest things we can do is have eyes to look and see and to recognize those ways that the Lord is demonstrating his kindness to us. And as he does that, we'll be able to say, as Lamentations says, his mercies are new every morning, and great is his faithfulness. Well, great job on finishing yet another book of the Bible, as we have now made it through the Gospel of Matthew as well. And we are beginning to stack up these books that we're reading through. Let's continue to pray for wisdom and understanding and hearts to obey and live out what we are reading together. Enjoy reading the end of Matthew today. God bless you as you study.